This is KVNF Regional News. I'm Patricia Naft. It's Thursday, February 6th. A new poll shows Governor John Hickenlooper's approval ratings have gone up ahead of November's election, but it also indicates many Coloradans disagree with some of the key policies he supports. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
According to Quinnipiac University, Governor Hickenlooper's approval rating is at 52%, which is up slightly from last summer. Voters also ranked Hickenlooper very high on being honest and trustworthy and caring about people's problems and needs. Tim Malloy is the assistant director for Quinnipiac University Polling Institute.
That's a good number by any measure in the United States, one of the better numbers for a Democratic governor. This is fortified by the fact that none of the four main challengers that he has in the GOP for the governor's race have moved at all. In fact, they've slipped a bit. So this is a pretty good survey for the governor.
But the majority of voters don't approve of how the governor has handled the death penalty, education, or gun control. Most of the 1,100 voters surveyed for the poll don't support the package of stricter gun laws Democrats passed last year. They also say the most important issue in the upcoming governor's race is the economy, followed by gun policies. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The Bureau of Land Management is wrapping up its study of a proposed coal lease sale outside of Paonia. Bowie Resources wants to expand its mine by an additional 1,800 acres. That would allow the company to access 8 million tons of new coal. According to the BLM's latest analysis, the expansion will have no significant impact on the environment, but the West Slope Conservation Center isn't so sure. In a letter commenting on the expansion, the center raised concerns about impacts to water quality in Terror Creek and flaring of methane, a potent greenhouse gas. Anyone who previously commented on the expansion plan now has 30 days to submit a protest. If the BLM decides to move forward after responding to protests, the agency will sell the coal at a public auction. Delta and Gunnison counties receive about $60 million annually from the North Fork Valley's three coal mines. That number will be lower this year now that the Elk Creek mine is closed. A Palisade woman will appeal her conviction on Friday of child abuse that led to the deaths of her two sons. That's according to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel. A jury found Heather Jensen guilty of two felonies for leaving her two sons strapped in her SUV with the heat on. The boys, aged 2 and 4, overheated and died. Jensen was also convicted of misdemeanor false reporting for lying to authorities about how long the boys had been in their car seats. The Colorado Public Defender's Office will appeal the charges after Jensen's sentencing on March 21st. Montrose County Commissioners removed three trustees from the board of the Montrose Memorial Hospital on Tuesday night. The commissioners say J. Don Vaca, Matthew Nokas, and Scott Ludian acted beyond the scope of their authority when they kicked fellow trustee Richard Harding off the board for failing to submit his Social Security number for a background check. According to the Watch newspaper, the move suggests the county commissioners are trying to assert control over the hospital's governing board. The Wright Opera House in Ouray will be closed until mid-May for restorations. The Watch newspaper reports that the project will install an elevator, fix the stairs, and remodel both down and upstairs lobbies. The complete restoration of the 1888 theater is expected to take 5 to 7 years, and the cost $2 million. Fish have ear bones called otoliths that function a lot like a mammal's inner ear. But otoliths also help scientists map the history of individual fishes from where they live to what they eat. From KDNK Carbondale, Amy Hayden Marsh talks with Colorado Parks and Wildlife.
The Colorado Parks and Wildlife Fish Hatchery, nestled under tall pine and spruce trees a few miles up Mitchell Creek Canyon in West Glenwood Springs, is over 100 years old. Several large cement tanks called raceways on the east side of the road hold Colorado River rainbow trout and native cutthroat trout that would make any angler's mouth water.
Not only are they big, they're They're plump. They're kind of wide.
Kendall Bakich has worked out of the Colorado Springs CPW office for 7 years and can pretty much tell you everything you want to know and lots of stuff you didn't know about fish in Colorado and throughout the West. Like, fish that eat other fish are called piscivores, and something really cool about lake trout.
And with lake trout, they will live for 40 years.
40-year-old fish?
Yeah, but you see these 30-pound lake trout. We got 30-pound lake trout in Rudai, and I had caught one of these big monsters, and I was
one way she determined the age of the fish was by its ear bones. Yes, fish have ear bones. They're called otoliths. Each fish has two otoliths, one on each side of its head, that help the fish maintain its equilibrium and pick up vibrations in the water, which is how a fish hears. And, says Bakich, an otolith is the best way to determine the life history of the fish.
They're little white structures, and depending on the fish, they can be maybe as big as your pinky fingernail or my pinky fingernail and as small as the tip of a pencil. These structures lay down a ring of calcium periodically, and you can age a fish by the rings, kind of like the rings on a tree. If you've got a wider width between rings, you knew it grew faster. And then if it's smaller width, you knew it grew slower.
Otoliths also provide what Bakich calls an isotopic signature. It's kind of like a fingerprint.
Isotopes exist in nature. We're all made up of a bunch of different particles and elements, and they're all going to be different depending on what kind of creature you are, what kind of things that you eat. And then you can look at tissues or otoliths or places that these elements will attach onto and create a signature. It's kind of neat because this isotopic signature can show where fish have been. If a fish has moved from a lake into a river, you can see that.
Bakich says by studying otoliths, she can find out when and where a fish thrives.
Or, in our case, we've got some issues with people moving fish around or fish moving around into places that we don't want them. In particular, fish that are coming into our rivers and causing issues with our endangered fish by eating them. So we can look at their isotopic signatures in their otoliths and figure out where they came from and if there's a solution to keep them isolated in the place that they're escaping from, or if there was an illegal introduction.
For KDNK News, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
Stay tuned for The Sweet Sound with Callie. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.